Monday, May 6, 2019, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1:02. Right?
Yeah.
Clear from my bonus.
Oh, I tried to not use my own.
Okay, Kevin. Tony's not sitting down.
Okay.
That's okay. I'll sit down.
You don't have to.
It is 1 p.m. We are going to start the Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting for May 6th, 2019. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Joan, can you call roll, please?
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Here.
Right here.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We'll start with the consent agenda items, which is the approval of the previous minutes for April 22nd and the meeting for April 29th.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, I have a motion by Janet. Second by Tony.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to new business. Item A, Jeff Curry requesting board approval of the tax list corrections for parcel 22004278. Okay. So what do we have on this one, Jeff?
I believe this is Mr. Black. Yeah. So what we have here is one that we had previously, the VOE, we made a correction for him on his building. We had some other buildings that were not called commercial in the same area, so we fixed it. But his commercial value didn't roll over again for 18. So we have to reset his 18 back to that value. And that's what this does.
Okay.
He came in and saw me and let me know that it did change. So we went back through the records and the notes, and it just didn't get rolled.
All right. That was pretty simple.
Yeah. Yep. Should be.
Is there an issue with our software, or is it just...
It gets buggy. What happens is, it's the 90s, it's like an AS400 based program. And what happens with it, when you get 10,000 parcels, sometimes the cache gets clogged up, and it'll hold parcels back randomly.
Okay.
And what the software doesn't yet, the new version will, it doesn't yet allow us to go back and search for an error.
For errors.
Yeah, once we find it, I can clean it. But
a new one will, though.
So we usually get, you know, a few of these every year. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good to know.
Okay. Well, I will make the motion to accept the tax roll correction for 22004278.
Just need a second.
Okay. Second by Larry.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes. All right, Jeff, you're up again. You're requesting the board to approve, appoint, set compensation for the use of certified appraisers as referees.
Okay, is this the one for Innovative, I believe, Joan?
Well, we can skip right to the next one if it works.
Oh, well, however it works for the board. Yeah, because we have one contract in for the residential and ag. And we got two quotes. The third company didn't. Joan, you never did hear back. They're out. Tri-State, are they going to be out, do you think?
I think they are, yes.
Because I never did hear back.
I didn't either. I think they got a little overwhelmed with the figures, the numbers.
Yeah, there's three of them that are already their clients.
Right.
So yeah. I'm basing them on two already for sure, so... So I don't believe So the local bid, we pretty much got turned down all the way across. The one company that would come in and do it, Joan and I met with them and we visited with them and kind of showed them what it was. And as they started looking at all the different clients, they had some clients out of those lists that they're already working with. So it's, and that's kind of a problem with local people too. They don't want to hurt their own business at the same time. And then the other ones just didn't even call back. So we just don't have a lot of commercial appraisers in this part of the country. There's just not enough of them right now for us to handle. So I can kind of go over some of the numbers now. There's another company called Standard Appraisal Services. I reached out to them. They're a company that does fee and mass appraisal, and they work all over the state. They work in several, just kind of like TBI. Like TBI does. So these people would be a competitor of TBI. But they came in with a number, and what they do is they assign a coordinator or somebody we call a project supervisor. And that person would have the actual CG license, and that would be the person who would give us the number or give us the final recommendation. And their fee for that person is $98 an hour. They also bring in what they call referees. We call listers. They are people either having licenses or getting licenses. They're being trained. And they might hear the first hearing in the first instance and bring it, and then do data collection for the project supervisor or coordinator, and they are at $75 an hour. So that was Standard Appraisal. The one piece I didn't get back yet from them is if that changes, and I don't know if it will. I'm not sure, but Daryl sent me this, and we haven't seen anything yet on the BOE support. So that's still missing on his initial proposal for us.
Do you think we act on it without knowing that information? Or?
I can get it. It takes them a little bit of time. They're kind of spread out in some counties right now, but I'll get it.
Okay.
And then the other one we have is, we all know, and that's the group we used last year, and that's TBI. And their value stayed the same, but I think they're the highest, and it's $125.
They went out of there. Where are they from?
They are out of Lincoln. Their office is in Lincoln, and then all their guys come from. They've been hiring people all over the state and kind of keeping people in areas. So, like, the guy that takes care of us is from, actually, he's from south of us. He's from Falls City.
You said these are about hourly rates?
Yeah, these are hourly rates. Yeah.
So how do you know how many hours they do?
They have to invoice us when they come in. So we'll check them in and check them out. And the only part we lose track of is when they do, if they do work that isn't in the building. So, like, they can do, like, if they, and what we try to do is intervene and tell them we'll use my lister. So some of this data collection that we're seeing, we try to jump into the middle of that and do it ourselves because I can't track them. If they say, well, we want to go look at the property, then I say, well, we can go out and get pictures. If there's something in particular you want to look at, we'll make an appointment, we'll go out and do it. Otherwise, I can't track them when they're out there all the time. There's not enough of us to go with them anyway. So. But Daryl and Joe both said we could go with them if they did go, if it was something they wanted to see. So, I don't know. Like I said, then I run into a staffing issue, too. I don't know if I can be sending them out for residential and then have enough people to ride with these guys. So, the risk is any outside data listing type services analysis they do, we don't know for sure. They don't actually have to log into the computer or anything to do it.
So your people would take the pictures and so forth?
That's what I like to do, yeah. We try to always say, hey, this is what we're here for.
We don't hire anybody extra to do that.
No, I just use what we have.
So you do the gopher work, and then they kind of make the...
Then and give bring the information back
all
to
the
them.
Details and pull it together for them, so
yeah.
The hours are ours instead of...
Yeah, so we can cut down because, I mean, they want $75 an hour to do it. Well, I can, you know, we pay our contract on a per visit for our guys. So we got gas. It's way cheaper for us to do it.
Yeah.
So we would do that for commercial as well as ag, residential. Our guys can go out and look at anything just to take pictures as listers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if a taxpayer says, well, you got to come in and look at the south wall. It's caving in. Well, it doesn't take much to go look at a south wall and take a picture of it and bring it back for them.
Yep.
So how many people do you have in your office, working out of your office?
Actual employees, we have Christy and I, the assessor and the deputy, and then we have two clerks now. Melissa and Courtney, we just brought on this year. And those two are replacements for Rita and, I don't know who left before Rita, Dave. And we just never replace Mary. And then we contract all the listing services. It's just that way we don't have to have our own vehicle with insurance. And they have to provide their own vehicle, their own insurance, their own gas. They pay for their own mileage. We just give them a per-site visit fee.
Oh, how much is that?
It depends on what they're doing. Like the most expensive one, I think, is $20 or $25, and that's for the first time we review new construction because that's the most important visit. And then it would drop like to $10 or $15 to close a permit, things like that.
It is any different, Larry, than let's say, for instance, in our company, we hire a part-time judge. You know, I mean, you don't pay insurance, you don't pay this, you don't pay that.
Yeah,
so that's the benefit of the whole deal, because if you hire a full-time, then you put up with the benefits and everything else. So.
But like when a new home is erected and sold, you go by the sale price?
What we would do, we'll take that sale price and throw it into the mix with all the rest of the sales. For like anything, that'd be 5 years or newer. And then they all get arrayed, and we'd take whatever that median is for it. And then a new construction would probably have a better condition, which is also a value, because it'd be a 40. It's not going to get any newer than it is that day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But
so,
the price could go up if it got sold 6 months later, and you hired a realtor to sell it. It could go up $15,000,
$20,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what then? Every year we review the market. We pull out all the sales and have to redo it. So that would go back into that same mix. That same house sold twice, so it would actually show up twice.
We just built a house 2 years ago, sold to a guy, about $17,000 real estate fee, see?
Uh-huh.
Now this man is getting some transfers, so he's leaving, so 2 years later, you have to hire another realtor to sell another $15,000,
yep,
or more. Pretty soon, if that happens 10 years in a row, you pretty soon have a house that's worth $100,000 more, but it really ain't.
Yeah, it's
so
the
deal with that.
Market. That's the appraisal is based on the market, so it isn't what it necessarily costs to build. You start with that as a base. It's what somebody will pay for the property. So. That's why when you do a sales approach like we do, you got to make sure you're using the right comps. It has to be an arm's length transaction. So that's how it's done. It's just done. So if the market, because if you look at our market, I don't think we've had a year of less than a 3% increase on residential, for example, minimum. There's been years at 6. So it just goes with the market, which is a good thing that the market is going up and people are paying it. Yeah, their taxes will go. Yeah, I mean, it depends on what happens to the levy, but sure.
All right, so Jeff, on this, we've got innovative.
Oh, yeah, I didn't give you innovative, did I?
Yeah, what's...
Innovative, you guys should have a handout with his. Now, this is our agreement, and I think I got it right. I had made sure Joan and Kim were looking at it as well. So we could make sure we were covered. Now, the residential and ag, I think it's 3 or 4 pages. I don't know. I've got it right in my hand here. Second page, I'm sorry.
Is it in this? Is this what you're talking about?
Yeah, it should be. It should say independent contractor agreement on the top.
Okay.
And then the compensation is on the second page?
Second page, you'll see
yep.
it.
There's no numbers in there. Is there numbers in there?
No. That's what we're talking about right now.
Do you have numbers?
He sent them. I thought I didn't put that copy in everybody's copy.
So all of their analysis in-house and out-of-house, which is the stuff we try to get in and do ourselves.
75, 80, and 100. Sorry. I only made... I was going to put that copy in everybody's packet, but I didn't. I'd already copied it out without it.
Oh!
Here. So
okay.
Here's the numbers.
So we got 75 in-house, 75 remote, 80 for protests.
Yeah, just sit down and talk with the taxpayer. Yep.
100 for the BOE and then 150 for Turk defense.
Right. Yeah, okay. So it goes to the 100 for the BOE is where they start to put their license on the line. They have to actually give you an opinion of value.
Right.
And then the Turk, if they go to the Turk, there's a risk on their license. Because if they're not doing something right, they can lose their license. So that's why they all generally charge pretty hard on the Turk defense.
Okay.
But Innovative's been there so many times, they've done it. You know, the actual chief appraiser for Innovative was in Douglas County. He had his own big part of Omaha that he did all the Turk stuff for. So he's very experienced in fee and mass appraisal. Here's another copy. You guys assume he didn't get one with the actual numbers.
All right, okay. We just jotted them on.
Did you get that one now?
Yeah, we got it, yeah. Thank you.
Yep. So that would be, and that would cover all of our residential and ag for that contract.
Okay.
And then if, you know, for comparison, like on, it's almost like if you looked at, depending on who was handling it, his $98 would be the, for standard appraisal, so if we want to kind of compare it to that, I can put these numbers into that format okay. too for you, which we would want to do.
The one I had the copy on top of, I had.
Okay, so for all five columns, you have one for.
We'll have to make one for you know whoever we want. The better price out of $98 would get us if you look at the in-house. Analysis, exterior, you know, out in the field analysis. And then the meeting in first, the first instance, they call it the meeting in the first instance, would be the project supervisor or coordinator. That's all at 98. The only number we're missing is the number for what they would charge if they had to go to BOE, or to Turk, I'm sorry, to Turk. BOE would be they have the recommended number, so that would be at the 98.
And that's for which outlet?
That's for standard appraisal
standard.
Services. And then TBI just does 125 straight down. I like it better when they break it apart because, in my opinion, it's not all worth the same amount because you're going to get a different level of person doing different things. Like a data lister should never cost what an appraiser does.
Yes.
So
those are the three options that we have.
Those are our three, right now. The fourth fell through here, kind of once you got all the information put together. So we ended up here. And Associated, we didn't get any contact back from.
And 98 for standard.
The guy I talked to in Hardington does ag only. He's a CG, though, but he doesn't want to mess with businesses. He just does ag. You got to have a CG to do ag, too, essentially. So this was for like actual businesses looking at the foundry, that level of person.
All right. So for C, for innovative appraisal, what is our... Opinion on that. Does anyone have any concerns?
They're local.
They're
local.
They're out of Sioux City.
Yeah, they're local. I And they're also our least expensive, so
I don't have local people here, so that's...
Yeah, I think they have a little better feel for it. And
with approving the contract with them, I mean, if we want to, we...
Yep.
Their firm does fee appraisal, Woodbury Union, mm-hmm. Dakota County, so they work in all of our Dixon County, Thurston County.
We can determine which cases we give them. I mean, for instance, first line of defense is you sit down with them and...
Yeah, they come to... Yeah, so they'll bring me their... Yeah, we ask them to come to the assessor's office first so we can give them their property record card and try to find maybe an error or something initially.
Okay, do that part first before we get to this.
Okay. And then after that, it would be first instance, I mean, anything ag residential would automatically go to innovative. Mm-hmm. And then...
So let's take care of that part of it first.
Yeah.
The ag residential.
Okay.
Anybody want to have more discussion on the three entities that have given us numbers on this?
I don't.
No, TBI is 125 for everything. And standard is certainly higher than innovative, and innovative is local, so.
Yeah, let's address C first, and I guess I will make a motion to for us to agree to this innovative independent contractor agreement for residential and agricultural parcels.
I would second that.
Okay.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, then back to B.
D.
We never approved anything for B.
Well,
do we need to...
Or is it these numbers in this contract?
We do that when we approve the agreement.
Okay.
That's kind of confusing. If you approve the agreement, you've done...
This included.
Okay, okay.
B will be taken care of.
So once those numbers got set in that contract,
right? Yeah, that's included.
Okay.
All right. Well, D, to approve the agreement for commercial parcels.
Yeah, and that kind of work, Janet's question comes into play. When they come in on the first day, some of this commercial stuff, like we're going to talk about one here at the end of our agenda, but we can kind of do ourselves, and Innovative can help us, you know, if we needed it. There's some that we know, like, and can handle. When it gets up to the foundry, and that's when I foresee us actually bringing them in. So it's one of those deals where it's as the commercial protests come in, not all of them are going to need to be heard.
And who are our options on commercial?
That would be standard is qualified appraisal and TBI. Commercial.
Okay. And so standard is at the 98?
Yeah, and 75. If there's not very much, we're only going to get one guy, and that's when we call him and tell him to send him in, you know, an appraiser, mm-hmm. if we need it, like on the foundry or something bigger.
Yeah.
Some of the other stuff, we can get you a number.
Okay, so I need a motion to...
Yeah, so his 98 starts...
The referee agreement.
So actually, if we don't have very many, it's 98 on the way down.
We have
the coordinator and the supervisor. If we get a whole bunch, they will send us like a worker for him.
Jeff, do we have an agreement from them, from Standard?
Not yet. What we'll do is we'll put one together. We have this CAN template. What he sent us is... Well, you guys can take a look at this. He wrote up a proposal. I didn't give him a bunch of time. I just said we're going to have to get this done, so I don't need a 40-page RFP or response to an RFP. I just said, give me your numbers.
Okay, so I guess...
We don't have a contract. We can go back up to B and set it at B.
Yeah, because what I would do is on the contract agreement, I would just put 98.
But then come back at a different...
Yeah, why don't we wait until we...
Come back, put it on.
get the response from them.
This has the numbers.
Yeah.
If you wanted the contract done the next time to be signed.
And these are very specific, so it will be kind of almost unique.
Yeah, a little bit.
Times and dates.
Yeah. Yeah, the scheduling is what's going to be tough, again, for Joan's office.
But we can approve the numbers they've already sent us and then just get the agreement signed once we have it written up.
Yep.
Because the way we're going to use them, essentially, it's just 98s all the way down on our agreement. Because I don't foresee us needing them for that many. It's just, I don't know how many the big commercials are going to. But the big ones are the ones we want.
Oh, absolutely.
And that will have to be a coordinator because that will be a CG.
Yep.
A certified general appraiser.
Yep.
So you might as well just say he's going to be 98s all the way through.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, so.
And then I'll get us the, I'm assuming he's going to be, everybody that I talk to is usually between 150 and 200 if they have to go to term. That's residential,
sure.
That's commercial, that's just because the license is on the line.
Okay. So
I'd say let's make a motion.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we use standard at $98 an hour. We will sign the contract at the next board meeting.
Subject to review the contract.
Yep. Perfect. Okay. I'll second that.
I'll write it on that agreement again, Kim, and send it up to you so you can take a look at it again.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin? Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Mark?
Yep. Okay. And then I need a motion for us to go into closed session pending litigation and possible settlement for Turk case 18C0062.
So moved to go into closed session.
Okay.
Second that.
Okay. I have a motion by Tony, a second by Janet.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
And what time do we have, Phil?
1:30.
1:30?
Yeah.
127.
Okay. Just state the reason one more time, Kevin, and then I'll show a recorder.
All right.
Kevin.
Well, people shuffled out. Okay. Yes. We are in closed session. Pending litigation, possible settlement for case number 18C0062, Turk case. All right, Jeff.
Okay, so this is one.
All right. Okay. I think we're going to come out of closed session then.
Okay.
So I need a
motion.
Open the door.
Well, you got to get people here.
Okay.
We're all done?
Yep. Okay, what time is it?
1:33.
33. Okay, I need a motion to come out of closed session. Closed session was discussion on Turk case 18C0062.
I'll make a motion to come out of closed session.
I'd second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty? Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay, we are out of closed session on Turk case 18C0062. We'll move on to F to discuss, approve, or deny county attorney to make the settlement for Turk case 18C0062. And I will make a motion for the county attorney to make an offer of settlement on 18C0062. Okay.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, that's it for new business. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay, we have any mail and or emergency business? I don't believe we do. So we move on to public comment for Board of Equalization. Does anyone have public comment for Board of Equalization? No? Then we will adjourn the Board of Equalization
1:34.
At 1:34, and I will turn it over to Marty.
All right, we'll go ahead and start our regular biweekly Board of Commissioners meeting. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for all, or available for review by all citizens. First, we'll go ahead and take a roll call.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Yes.
You're the only here this time.
All right, we'll go ahead and take a couple of minutes here at the beginning to have public comment. If anybody wants to make public comment of something that's not on the agenda, please try to hold it to 3 minutes and do that at this time if anybody has anything to say that's not on the agenda. All right, moving forward, we'll go to consent agenda. We're looking to approve the previous minutes from April 22nd, 2019. And approve the Veterans Service Officers Quarterly Report for January through March 2019, which I did take a look through. Everything appears to be in order. And I'm looking for a motion for the consent agenda items.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. New business A here. Approve payroll claims for the period April 21st through May 4th, 2019. I did come in and went through all of the payroll claims. Everything seemed to be in order. So at this point, we'll look for a motion to approve those.
Accept the payroll claims for the period from April 21st, May 4th.
Okay.
Kevin?
I'll abstain.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm looking to approve the referee contract agreements and budget expenditures. That'd be basically approving what we had just talked about in the Board of Equalization meetings, so we're just going to go ahead and set that at this time.
So do we have an amount, or is it just that we've in essence agreed to these rates?
We've agreed to those rates.
A cap amount right now.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
All right. Board approval for special designation liquor license for Alprezo Durango Incorporated, Omaha, for rodeo events held at 156 2nd Street, S26 T29N R90, South Sioux City, Nebraska, on May 26th, June 22nd, July 6th, July 28th, August 18th, and September 1st from 1 o'clock to 11:30, 2019. All right, anybody to speak regard the rodeo? We're right here.
Yes, we have alternate dates on the forum, so I don't know if you want to see them.
We have alternate dates of May 25th, July 7th, August 31st, September 8th, and September 15th.
Is that rain dates?
Yes, rain dates.
Very good. What's the first one is looking to be on the 26th of May.
Sunday.
Yep. Are you, what are you doing for security with regard to the rodeo?
We're using the same viewer sheriffs from the past.
Okay. So when you used them in the past, the same number of officers that you did in the past? And
yes.
And as far as you know, Sheriff, is that worked in the past?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah. Any other discussion? Any questions? The rodeos take place out at the old Lake area there.
I'd like to make a motion myself to approve the designated liquor license for Isla Dorada Incorporation, Omaha. And one of the reasons that I think it's a good event, I missed it myself, so Elk had the rodeos in the past, and they didn't do anything this year. And so probably she was expecting the baby, so that's my motion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Somebody second that?
Yep, Larry.
Larry again.
Do I get the form back?
Spencer, the dates, alternate dates.
Can you have my staff make a copy of it?
Oh, yes.
Thanks.
And the date today is?
6. I'll call roll. Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yeah. Larry, they're probably looking for another bull rider if you're.
Thank you.
I've never been to one.
Yeah?
Yeah. My wife wouldn't go because she didn't want to see the tails get pulled off.
All right, we'll go to miscellaneous. So we'll start with Fred Kellogg. Highway Superintendent for the Road Report.
April 21st through the May 4th, 259 hours of total road maintenance, 6.5 hours of debris removal, 2 hours of garbage pickup, tons of aggregate, 16 hours of signs and barricading, road concerns, regrading Saddle Lane, H Avenue, Gulf Road, gravel was 142nd Street. There's probably a few I've been told about and missed, but.
Fred, the bridge, where are we at on the bridge out there?
It got forward Friday. Lexus have moved some equipment out there. I think they said 3 to 4 weeks for the cement to cure. They actually go out and take some kind of test to see if it stands up. But the bridge is poured. Equipment is being moved in to move dirt.
Well, they started moving that dirt before May 1. It's already gone.
Dale Lieber gave us some on the west side, too. Back that first bridge is there, south edge.
Yeah.
It's got a little shale to it, but it'll work good for fill. So we got some dirt on the west side, too.
Good.
So they'll be back to put the guardrail on and the tie rods in?
Once the bridge is cured, yep.
Well, they should be able to get on there now, which I think.
That I don't know, Larry. He told me once that they would test it twice. And then he'd be there to put guardrails on. That's what Ryan told me.
I got a call today about that culvert out on 260th.
Yes, sir.
It was ever going to get fixed.
Okay. I'll find somebody this week for sure, one way or another.
And I guess that one out there on Park Avenue 2 should probably be fixed.
We got a culvert on Nottoway. I figure hopefully this week, if weather stays good, we'll do Nottoway, Park Avenue.
Those all like the other way. We're going to get a lot of rain. Sure.
We'd love to have a dry week.
Walk your own drain.
Are we still hiring trucks to haul? Right?
Yeah.
How long are we going to do that? Continue to do that?
I'd like to do it for another week or two, if I could.
They're hauling directly to the road. They're hauling directly to.
Yes.
How many trucks are you using?
One
additional. And the crushed concrete's working all right.
Yeah.
And the Class A that you hauled, the 231 tons, is that stuff that you had at the yard?
Yes. They did, as of today, they did go down from it was $10 an extra surcharge for. The rail, they went down to $2.50 a ton, which puts it basically right around $10 a ton, or $20 a ton. at LG Everett, so it's getting cheaper. Yeah, so if we did run out of other aggregate, the crushed concrete, we're hauling the. We went through the stuff with no fines on it. VA gave us.
That was good stuff.
Yeah. But we're going to continue to haul the stuff with the fines to see what, how it works and looks.
Is it inch and a half with fines, or is it inch of fines? Inch and a half.
Inch and a half of fines in it.
Yeah. It's screened, the original stuff, the clean stuff is screened.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the real small stuff is out.
You haven't had any many reports as far as...
No. We had some of the bigger stuff, we had to have a little iron in it. We've had a couple of complaints.
But not much of it. All right, very good.
Well, there's a washout out on 200th Street. A bad one's been there ever since spring. On the south side of the road, it's pretty dangerous. Are they going to fix that pretty soon?
200th.
Going west.
T or off. Oh, that bad one, yeah. All it, if it gets dry enough, we're just going to peel the sod off and clean the ditch and put it right back up, do it again.
Yeah, it really is. It ain't good.
Yeah, because there's some pretty good stuff to the east of it there. You know, it's washed down there. We'll shove that back up there.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, let's go ahead and go on to B, which is request approval for road repairs on 155th Street with cost over $10,000. You want to fill us in on that?
What that is just some road maintenance on 150 clean ditches, build the road up. There's some new housing project going out there, a few homes. We've actually talked about doing it for the last 3 or 4 years. I had a bid of 33 last year. I had another bid for 25 this year, and I thought that was a darn good price. I got another bid this year at 33.5.
Okay.
But it's just general maintenance of cleaning ditches. I think it would help the as you know, last meeting we had a lot of residents with people concerned about the flow of water. It would help alleviate that problem some. I'm not going to say it'll take care of the whole problem, but it will help the situation out there. Both the landowners that were disputing water flow, and it'll help us give a good road. So,
just so we're clear, from what point to what point on?
It's approximately a half a mile west of 110, a half mile west to where the ditch is already cleaned, just about right to Pringer's.
And then how far east is it going to go? All the way to 110?
All the way to 110, yeah. Both sides of the ditch.
Okay. All right.
I went over myself, you know, and Larry, as a matter of fact, I went a couple of times, one myself, one with Larry, and they're going to alleviate quite a bit the drainage, you know, if you do it right. I mean,
yeah, if you go on, go ahead. If you go on that road from west to east, I mean, it is, you can really get a feel of how much that road drops. There is a heck of a drop in there.
The west end needs a little shaping, but most of the people, there's approximately 10 residents out there. They all go to the west when there's any bad weather because going east is impossible. Mail route all the full mile, so the mailman uses it the full mile. It'd be nice to...
That's a win-win.
I'm sure with more and more residents building out there, we're going to have school buses running the whole length of it also.
It's one of those rare win-wins. You know, you're doing something that needs to be done anyway, and we're going to get some new homes out there. So
that's the truth, you know, because Mark, when I talked to Mark, he says he won't let nobody build a house less than $300,000. So, I mean, that's going to get a revenue for the county. So.
Yeah.
The drainage bit with it will create a dam area. There'll be drainage... Like
it'll move slightly to the east. I'm not going to tell you it's going to run like a devil towards 110.
Okay.
But it cannot go west, so it's got to go east. Okay. But it'll at least give them some drainage off of the properties on both sides, so water has some place to get off their property. The property owners will be in.
The slope will be.
You will have some pooling of water. There's not a lot of fall through there, but... Yeah, it will help the situation.
So we'll take into account the whole.
Yeah. That field falls to the south some. So once it gets down there into that ditch, you know, it'll run back a little bit. That will certainly help.
Yeah.
Okay. So we need a motion, don't we? We need a motion for that, don't we? I'd like to make the motion to. I need to do the door repair on 155th Street.
Who's going to do the work?
Mark Albanicious. Am I?
You know what he's doing?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I don't get anybody in trouble. I got to decline.
I'll second Tony.
I'm in prison.
So with those two bids that we got, it's one of those emails that you just gave us, like 25 or 30.
25.
Yeah.
25. 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two members out of
the board. You bet. I would second that.
Kevin did.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, then I'll vote.
Marty.
Yep.
Tony.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Larry. Janet.
Yes.
Thanks very much, Red.
Did Larry, did you abstain?
Yes.
Okay.
Declined.
Oh. And then over on M, Avenue.
That was no word.
That's federal aid.
Yeah.
And they're trying to tell us that we've had scouring. Our bridge report showed scouring before, which every bridge in the last 10 years have had some kind of scouring.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and take some more pictures to show them. I got pictures of in our bridge reports of what they called scouring before, and see if they can tell the difference.
Oh.
Whether they want to jump on board with us or jump ship, who knows.
But that should be addressed first.
But that's what they're trying to say, that we had scouring before that they don't want to even look at it. I said I will send out more pictures. Try and get the same shot that was taken before, because there was trees and grass on all the bank lines. There's like this one in Jackson up here, on both sides. And as you know, that's all gone.
Yeah, I really could.
The one south of Hubbard, I don't know, there was some scouring along there on that southeast corner there, but it is much worse where they don't.
How soon will we get a response from them? How soon until we get a response from them?
I have not yet met with FEMA at all. Deanna said they were in her office this morning. She called them. I gave a list of bridges and roads. But as far as they have looked, the NRD has looked at the high bridge north of Jackson, and they are figuring up a price to fix it. They want to put sheet piling and drive the channel underneath the bridge further. That's what they want to do. I met the engineer that thinks that little water thing is spokeless. He didn't quite agree with my assessment, Larry. But anyway, it's not a fast process, but I do got some prices coming in. How fast it'll happen, I don't know.
Well, who's going to pay for it? That's the question.
We'll pay for it, no doubt, for the first 2 years before we start getting any money back.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
At least that's the way it's worked before. So last year's flood had happened the 1st of July. We have not, I think we've only received, what, Joan, you know, 30,000, 40,000. It isn't much. But we got a bridge sitting out there that's 300,000, and it sounds like they're going to give us most of that, but they haven't gave us anything yet.
So this bridge out north of Jackson is a couple hundred thousand to fix that problem.
Yeah, easy. Easy. I said 250. The one in Jackson there with the bigger wing walls,
yeah.
I bet you that's close to 200,000 just for them wing walls. Maybe I'm a little high, but by the time you put wing walls and fill that all back under there with riprap, that's my estimate, whether I'm a little high.
Well, it doesn't matter how it was, 100, 200 or 100, just a lot of money. You got that kind of money, Joe?
We might have a trouble with the one in Jackson with the proximity of the railroad tracks also on that side. I don't know how close the railroad will let us get.
All right, Fred, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred.
All right, jail report from Sheriff Feinberg.
Good afternoon. County inmates for average for the month of April was 87 inmates, 26 federal, 0.13 juveniles, and 113 total. 2019 calendar average is 86 inmates, 0.7 federal, 0.02 juveniles, and 113 in-house, and fiscal average of inmates, 87 for county, 26 for federal, 0.03 for juveniles, and our 13 total. Federal income for the April marshals was 46,491. ICE was 9,351. BIA $130, and so the average for the federal is 55,973. Fiscal marshals were at 457,423. ICE is 108,927, and 2,000 for BIA. 2019 federal calendar was 223,094. April contracts was 5,000. Fiscal 18-19 for county contracts is 53,979, and we averaged about $52.44 per inmate in the month of April, which...
You get a very healthy bunch.
Yeah. That number surprised me because we're getting it down again. We spent about $180,000 for the month of April in the jail budget. Jail is 84% of total estimated yearly budget, which we're about 1% over, about $15,000 over fiscal budget. 83% of total estimated yearly budget for April of 2018. Spent $21,000 less last month than allotted for April, so that was 10% under the monthly budget.
Mm-hmm.
DCSO, or April bookings for Sheriff's Office was 30, South Sioux was 25, NSP 2, self turn-ins was 25, and Federal's 26, other 4, total of 112, and 45 from Dakota County, 20 in other Nebraska cities, 22 from Sioux City, other Iowa areas 23, homeless 1, and other states 1, at an average of 112.
All right. Very good.
Better.
Mm-hmm. All right, while you're here.
Whilst I'm here.
While you're there, Sheriff Feinberg is requesting approval to purchase the jail transport van with a cost of over $10,000.
So we've been working on this for a while. Our van's miling out. In the last year and a half, we probably put a lot of miles on that van. We're doing a lot more ICE transports now. So I don't know, I was talking with Joan looking at the budget, and I know there was some monies there allotted on a tax levy for jail stuff. I didn't know if we could maybe take the... Joan, did you get this email? I sent it kind of late.
You bet. Yeah.
So they're going to give us $5,000 for the old van. I'm going to remove the old cage. They wanted like almost $4,000 to take the cage out and put it in the new van.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'll do that. I'll get
$5,000 seems like a fair trade-in for the van.
It runs.
Yeah.
It's a, I think it's an 09, so it's almost 10 years old.
Yeah.
But it's pretty basic van. The guys asked for remote locks.
And the backup sensor's a good deal. And
yeah, it's got a dent from York. One of our old jailers backed into one of the poles.
Oh, okay.
The sensor would have helped, but...
Uh-huh. Yeah. What's the wall package? Is that the right behind the seat still?
Well, that's a partition, and you know, this one doesn't have one in it, but I think it'd be a lot nicer because I want to put a gun locker on it.
Does it have the wall where you can the door through it, or do you go around to the outside?
It's a completely open cargo van with an enclosed cage in it. So there's a front compartment. Have you seen the inside of that?
The old one.
So the van's completely, this particular one, the new one will have that partition that goes in. So, yeah, you'll have to get out. It'll separate the cab from the rest.
Good idea.
And the new van is actually the same, just about the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. There's nothing different really on it. Same engine, same drive. The only thing I got different is I got stuff from Minnesota here a couple of months ago in a snowstorm. And, they do still sell, I thought it was old school, but they do still sell slip posi rear ends. And I said, do you still do that? Yeah, do it. We want it in there. Because that thing is just worthless if it gets slick out.
Okay.
It doesn't move.
Uh-huh.
So,
in doing the audit this previous year, there were some accounts over with the sheriff's office, one of them being earmarked, you know, for those type of things. So we were thinking that some of the monies that were in those, there's approximately $150,000 in those two accounts. Some of the money that's in those accounts is the monies that we would use towards the purchase of this transport van.
I just didn't want to have to finance.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of like, to me, it kind of looks like with that's what it's for, and the number of transports you're doing, and the amount of you know, people that you're moving around. Safety first, I think it's a good idea.
Our vehicles usually come out of the budget, or is it usually, I guess?
Well, you know, we just purchased three vehicles.
Yeah, that's actually we were just doing that then. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that it came through the budget, it's financed, and it's purchased over like 3 or 4 years.
Typically with the trucks, so I can get these trucks and finance them at 2-3% interest through JH. And the trucks hold a little more value to them, so by the time, you know, 4 or 5 years they mile out, I can turn them in and get pretty decent trade in on them. The van, they don't really give you nothing for those vans, so I'm not really getting a lot on a trade-in.
So this isn't part of your regular fleet that you...
No, this is just specifically for transports. A lot of the trucks we'll use for the local stuff. If it's just one or two people, we'll take county trucks. This is for when we're hauling more than two or three people.
Okay. Sometimes 7, 8, 9.
Yeah,
it'll
hold 12, I think. 12. And recently, with the ICE stuff we do, we've been transporting a lot. We're going a lot to Hardin County and Minnesota.
May I ask a question? Am I allowed to ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think.
If it's regarding this.
Oh, it's regarding the situation here. Yeah. Regarding the van.
The transport van.
Yeah. Well, in relation to the budget, am I able to ask a question?
You can answer regarding the transport van. Is it?
Well, I have to do with the budget and the transfer.
Yeah, that's why at the beginning of the meetings we give people opportunities to talk about things that aren't on the agenda. Okay, sounds good. You bet, absolutely.
Okay, well, I will make a motion to approve the purchase of a jail transport van.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
You bet. All right. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. E, approve resolution 19C-014 to establish intent to provide or incurring for indebtedness the cost of incurring to recent flood damage estimated to be in $1.5 million. So we're looking at possibly borrowing money for some of the issues that we had during the flood. If we set it at $1.5 million, my understanding is we use which portion of it we need. We're not required to use the $1.5 million. Is that correct, Joan?
This is just to ensure that we can reimburse ourselves, and we estimate high. Next week, I have both John Tracek with Emeritus and Andy Thorney with D.A. Davidson coming with a bond to bond so that we can get money coming. And they'll come and they'll have a set dollar amount, whether it's 1.5 million or less.
Do we have to draw on it, or can we draw on it, or do we have to take it out at one time?
We would bond it in
a lump sum.
The 1.5 total.
So people could buy those bonds.
Yes.
Muni bonds.
And I'm pretty sure that you have to do a minimum of 5 years because those people have an investment in those bonds.
Mm-hmm.
So
if we have at 1.5 and we use 75 of it.
Yeah, we don't have to bond at 1.5.
Oh, we don't?
No, this is just
give us that option.
Yes.
Okay.
All it is giving us an option. We do not have to. I'm going to meet with Fred and Jolene on Wednesday morning to try and get some more firm figures. You know, Fred still doesn't have some figures from the people he met with on the bridges. He's still waiting to get some firm figures.
How much over are we on the rock, do you know, over the budget, the road material?
We were about $100,000 over.
Sure, I thought it was probably $200,000.
Well, we haven't gotten claims yet for April, for May, but
this would, in essence, cover like those bridges we were just talking
right,
about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Till we get the money from FEMA.
Yes.
Okay, so if we have a solid estimate, we can start the projects.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't have the cash flow.
Right.
You know, if we had $1 million in, or $2 million in inheritance tax, I could budget it, you know, and we could get the tax money in, and, I mean, we could finance ourselves, but...
No, it's just not possible.
We'll just spend money until we see that we're out of the woods, you might say, as far as have to spend any extra money, and then you'd bond that portion, if I say it was $800,000, say we spend $1 million, borrowed $1 million and spend it, then you'd write the bond for 5 years for $1 million.
We have to write the bond probably soon as possible.
We do.
We have to sell the bond.
Because we don't have the cash flow to start any of the work.
So why wouldn't we just do $500,000 now, $500,000 a month from now?
Well, that's a question that we should maybe ask,
Americans.
You know, Jack, John Trasick, and Andy Forney next. We could.
Mm-hmm. I think when they go to market, they like to market.
I know.
Yeah. A sizable amount so that a bigger institution can purchase it. Right.
And you get it cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well,
you know, you get a less interest, you know, rate. And yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good questions for them next week,
though.
Yeah,
but
that
was
asked.
Or in 2 weeks. They're going to be here next week?
They're going to be here in 2 weeks, you bet. So we'll be able to ask those questions.
2 weeks.
So that's, a very good point, Larry.
So with these projects, are they going to start soon or not? I mean, can we set the start date? If we don't think anything's going to even get started for 6 months because of a backlog, or are we on target to begin some of these
projects? I think some of those will begin
Okay, so the money would be put to use immediately then. That's good.
Well, we definitely need to get some drier weather before they start anything of any magnitude.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Just like that.
In the next 3 days are not looking like that.
But we're required within 60 days of the declaration of the event, which was in March, to get this signed.
To get this,
signed.
So we are.
So we need to sign this. It doesn't commit us to anything.
Okay.
It's just to be ready and prepared.
So we're prepared.
Yeah. But it gives us the option
The option to bond and
perfect.
Very good. I'd make the motion to approve resolution 19C-014.
I can second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Approve resolution 19C-015 to declare personal property as surplus property.
That's my motion.
I'll second it.
Mm-hmm.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
What are we talking about? I don't know what we're talking about here.
Approved resolution.
Oh, this is right here.
Yeah, first one right here.
Okay.
Something to read on. We've got to get rid of this.
Surplus property that they sell is surplus property.
Oh, yeah, the sale.
VHS tapes, if you need some.
Yep. All right. Okay,
we find some good stuff.
Yep, I remember seeing that.
One bad thing about that old vehicle, some stuff the road department should have had in it, but I don't see it.
All right, next. Oh,
I didn't get done with my role.
Yep, that's right.
I don't know.
I caught myself.
Janet.
Yes. So when is the public auction?
Marty.
Yep.
Tony.
May 31st.
Kevin.
Yes.
I started with Larry.
Okay. Yes.
May 31st. Got it.
Nothing
better
than you want.
No,
I think there's a typewriter.
There's a couple.
Approved resolution 19C-016 granting Cable One Inc. for a period of 15 years the non-exclusive privilege and franchise to construct, operate, and maintain a cable television system in Dakota County and providing terms and conditions for the operation of such cable television system and the payment of fees. Joan, is that with regard to what they're doing on the tower here at the sheriff's office?
No. It's a franchise agreement, and they pay us to be in the county.
Right away?
Every year they do. Every year we get a fee from them, and this is just renewing their right to be in our county.
5% of the gross revenue. Mm-hmm.
Where does it stay at 5%?
Under franchise.
Oh, there it is.
Franchise.
So is that I assume that's a fair and appropriate amount based on standard industry practice?
I would imagine that they do business in other entities right around us, so I guess I'm not familiar.
It covers everything outside municipal limits, which is not a lot. It's Southridge, Mid Mills Beach, Rotunda. Yeah.
Maybe even the Tonkin area.
Yeah. Greater Courts. Has to be 40 houses within a mile or something like that.
For 15 years. Mm. That's a long time. I mean, it really is.
It's not exclusive, so if someone else wanted to come in, they can.
It doesn't say we're the only ones that can be here.
Yeah.
It just says we're going to be here.
They can provide service.
They have a right to be here, but, anybody else who wants to move in also has a right to be here.
Well, we're just in the process where I work renegotiating with these folks because, things change a lot with technology.
So you think we should maybe do a shorter contract?
Well,
the previous one was 10.
Because I didn't want to be locked. Well, I guess I'm the PE.
We're locked. With them?
If you sign a contract, you accept the 5%.
We're going to accept money, so we're not paying anything.
Right, we're not paying.
We're accepting their money. So.
Right.
Just letting them provide service.
Have we really tried to negotiate with them on that fee?
Yeah.
Maybe that's something we want to look into before we vote on this contract, then.
It would be nice
look around and see what they're signing with other jurisdictions before we jump in with them.
At least call South Sioux and see what they get.
I'm kind of on the other side of one of these agreements, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to say I do not want to lock myself in because I don't even know if Cable One will be around. If technology change their business, Hulu, and they do whatever.
Well, is there any cost to the county on this?
No.
They just pay it.
It's pure revenue.
They just pay us.
They just pay us
a yearly.
You're negotiating them to conduct a service for WIT, is what you're saying.
Right, and they want to take a long-term contract with me, and I don't want to go that long.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if we're on the receiving end of the revenue, it should be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, this is just to let them provide service.
Like you say, there's probably not very many providers. It's probably a little harder to negotiate them. If we don't have much
people want their cable.
That wouldn't give them the right to just go anywhere out in our right of way.
No.
They can just be here. They still got to follow all the rules.
That is a really long time to wait. I mean, that's.
So, what do you want to do? Do you want a short contract?
I guess.
Well, you're negotiating on it right now, Janet.
Am I? Yeah. Yes.
Well, you've been working on it then, on our end.
But is it the same entity you're dealing with?
Cable One, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And I'm just, like I said, I just think, in light of what's happening in technology in this day and age, it's, it's worth at least kind of reviewing, A, is this a fair price, and B, what is an appropriate time frame, because things are changing so quickly, but I mean, we are on the right end of this one, getting money instead of paying money. So I guess you guys have been at this a lot longer than me.
Well, we haven't had a problem in the past, as long as, it's been the revenue. So when you got money, I shouldn't say this, but we probably won't pay much attention, when you get money. But I can see your point.
Mm-hmm. How much do we get off of this? Do we know?
It depends on 2018.
Yeah.
Any idea, ballpark, what we get?
Yeah. 5% of their annual gross revenue.
Okay. is what for our county, for our area.
Outside, it's a whole limit. It's not like it's a big...
Like $15,000.
It's small.
It's very small.
When they put it in over Rotunda Place...
I think it's like 15,000.
They did it for nothing. They put the cables in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to get... What I tried to do was get the Southwestern Bell or whoever they were... Century 21 now, I think, or Century, what is it?
Century Link.
But what were they before?
Quest. Yeah, Quest for a while.
I tried to get them to come in there, and they wanted to charge the daylights out of me. They wanted like $15,000-$20,000 for a cable in. And these other guys, they just did it for free. No cost to me.
And that is the other thing that's happened. There's a lot of consolidation going on in this industry right now.
Yeah, there is. I'm wondering who Century Link will be there a year from now.
They'll have to change the name on that big auditorium down there in Lincoln, Omaha again.
When do we have to sign this by? I mean, I just think it's worth a little bit of research is what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's bad.
I agree with Janet on this one. I think we should at least
look into,
what their standard contract is.
Mm-hmm. All we got to do is call a couple cities and see what they can.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing.
Did save the assessor's office a bunch of money. I was just thinking about sending data listers out and charging them $100 a house. That's a negotiating point, right?
Yeah, there you go.
We got $5,800 last year and $6,500 the year before.
Oh, so it's not a lot.
$5,800, so you know, we get another 1%. That's almost lunch.
Yeah.
Like I said, obviously there's not a lot of people using it right now, so maybe it's not that bad.
It's just in the populated area.
Yeah.
You know, so it's only...
Yeah, it's smaller than Hood County, yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's very that was Woodbury County, whatever, you know.
You know, the world, I think Jackson and Hubbard is...
We're in
NTC.
NTC,
you know, and Homer is Evertech, I think.
Yeah. So everybody kind of does their own thing.
So it's just...
Covering those who don't...
South Ridge... Mm-hmm.
It's rural areas that don't have...
Right. It has to be 40 houses within a mile.
Yeah, it's got to be a densely populated rural area.
So this gives them the right. So this gives our rural customers the right to
get...
Yes. They have a service provider.
Yes.
So this
is
their service provider.
Yes.
I get it.
And they pay a fee to be here.
So if we kind of stir things up, they might not even want it to stir. I don't want to stir things up.
Okay.
I don't want my rural customers not to have anything.
Okay.
You're a rural customer.
I don't
think
Cable One doesn't...
No.
It doesn't go out at all.
No. Mm. No.
Cable
it's
One doesn't
just,
do
you
anything
have, it
outside
says in,
of...
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So...
It's just...
Cable One's still going to be Cable One.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, we have to do a little research if we don't need to sign it right away. But if we do, I mean, for what we're talking about, it's probably fine.
Did you do the research yourself, Janet? I mean,
well, I was just making a few phone calls.
Okay.
And figuring out this is normal.
When did that line
Can we just put it on our next meeting?
We can.
All right, let's just push it back to our next meeting, and we'll act on it then. Janet will do a little research and see, make sure that everything's falling in within what everybody else is doing.
I happened to be meeting with the gentleman
a
couple of weeks.
Very good.
We're doing a similar analysis.
And H is approved resolution 19C-017 to establish a county purchase card policy. So a policy for all the credit cards.
Right. This is a cleanup from the state auditors again.
A recommendation they had for us to make a policy that covers the people that are using the county credit cards.
That's a good
one. I haven't heard any... Office heads
complain about,
saying they don't think this is how it should be done.
Yeah. Very good. Anybody who want to make that motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. Commissioner committee reports. Anybody have anything in the last couple of weeks?
I don't know if anybody went to the Earth Day. That was a really nice event.
It was really covered well.
Cool.
We enjoyed it.
But it was a nice event. That was, I know the Northeast Press, beautiful and NCRD were kind of, some stuff there. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Good event.
I didn't have anything.
I don't have any either. I didn't lay down.
Yeah. Mail and emergency business. Tony's had plenty of emergencies here last night.
Yeah, I did have plenty of emergencies.
I think I should. I send everybody a copy of the letter we got from the city of South Sioux.
About what?
I did. Okay.
Yep. Regarding the TIF.
Oh.
And it lists the different TIF areas that South Sioux has. And the understanding is what the All-American one, is that the one that's dropping off here in the near future?
Yes.
So.
But that legislation is going to extend that TIF from 15 years to 20 years.
Are they going to get that pushed through, you think, Tony?
I haven't heard anything, but they...
I know that there was something that they were talking about.
It's out of committee.
Yeah, is that a committee? Yeah.
I think it's still on the priority list, too.
Yeah. They're changing it. They're tweaking it a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's, it's very blighted, and then there's alternative revenue.
They adjusted the blighted definition.
Yeah.
This is, personally, myself, that's one of the things that I'm really disappointed, you know, that it seems to be like South Sioux taking advantage of the county. I mean, it's just... It is. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. That's the way I look at myself. 50 years there, you know, that you don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you believe in growing. Yeah, I believe in growing. Growth. But you don't see money for 50 years, and they don't extend it if they want to.
I think everybody agrees in growth. It just kind of handicaps you why everything's growing. Everything's growing except the tax base.
That's the answer that I got from Lance when I talked to him about it. Yeah, you're right.
What does it say 15 years on here? They're always 15 years?
That's a statute.
It's a statute. Oh. Yeah. They would be about 20.
So you can't change them and make them.
So then, like, with the bean mill that's been sold back here in the Roth Industrial Park, when they're doing quite an addition out there, I imagine that gets TIF 2 going forward for another 15 years.
Yeah, that's one of the newer TIFs.
Oh, yeah.
It is the newest TIF, actually.
So if the original business is TIFed 5 years ago and an addition is TIFed now, is the whole thing TIFed for another 15 years?
Yeah, so anybody that does any growth, like if the market goes up, they put a new addition on, new buildings... It's all 100% excess and goes to the city alone.
Yeah,
the schools don't get it. Nobody gets it. Just the city entity. Yeah. So all that brand new BPI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So a company that experiences positive economic growth, most of it goes elsewhere then.
Yeah. We haven't had the only new commercial development that's gone on that isn't in a TIF is Gleason's, the medical center.
And that's because he refused it.
Yeah, he won't do it.
Really?
Yeah, he says he can build it someplace else if they wanted to push it. So they left him alone. Because they really, I don't think a citizen can, I shouldn't say no to this. Great West, in theory, told me they didn't want to be in the second TIF before the last one here. But they're in it. And when I did a little research on it, I said, well, what if somebody doesn't want to be in it? He said, well, the city sets it. If they say it's blighted, it's blighted. They can't opt out.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. So they would have to blight everything around that medical center to try to force him into it. I don't think they would ever try that.
And even if one was to build out of city limits, the city would put in sewer, sanitary sewer and water as an agreement and take it in as part of the city.
Yeah, then annex it.
Yeah.
That's all that Ho-Chunk stuff they're building on now is in a TIF.
Yeah.
It's coming this year, actually. They just sent me another email on it.
The apartment complex and stuff, that'll all be TIF.
That's TIF.
But the residential homes that are sold to individuals will...
So, like, there's been one house that sold. We got 100% of the value on that one.
But so we do, if it's an individual home, it's not, even though it's in a TIFT area, it's not TIF. We start collecting taxes.
As long as we had it, because they lock us into a year. So when they send it, they're going to say whatever my value in that Ho-Chunk development was as of last year is base. Mm-hmm. Anything after last year is excess. So every house they build going forward, they get 100% of. Or every townhouse. I think there's all the, it looks like townhouses and multi-use down there.
Apartment complex.
I was down this weekend looking at it.
So if you build a house down there today, it's TIFed.
Yeah, it's going to be TIFed, yeah. Because we have to go retro a year for our base value. No.
All right, let's go ahead and adjourn quick. All right.
Time?
2:26. What is it?
2:26. Okay.
All right. Good meeting. Thank you. Good meeting.